Good morning, everybody. It's Friday. You made it to the end of the week. Isn't that exciting? It's going to be a long weekend, by the way. Remember, Monday is a public holiday. So if you are feeling exhausted after a busy, busy year, and if 2024 hasn't yet delivered all the goods for you, then maybe Monday is your day. And it is called the Day of Reconciliation. I think it should be called the Day of, like, for those people who have had enough of a year, it's like your day of enough. You can just do whatever you want that day. And then we've got a four-day week next week and pretty much Christmas after that. Then it's downhill to the new year. And before you blink, it's 2025. So there we are. I've mapped out the next 3-4 weeks for you. And it looks fantastic. You can't be complaining about that, can you? So welcome to this morning. We have plenty to get to. We're going to be joined a little bit later on by Andre, the hilarious hypnotist, who was actually mentioned, funnily enough, when we had Kurt Darren in just the other day. And he said that they had, I think they were in the army together or something. And he said, Andre is just terrific. And they often see each other at like gigs where he's singing and Andre's performing and it's a whole thing. So we thought we'd get him in. And he is in today. I don't know who we're going to hypnotize. We'll have to see. But Ben is probably unlikely to be hypnotized. And here he is.
Correct.
Ben Karpinski.
Hey, Gareth. Nice to be in this new studio. I mean, yeah. I like the wood. Like
we're,
the textures.
We're getting better. We're getting better. Every day we're trying to make improvements. And certainly James and the crew are doing their damnedest behind the scenes. I know he gets a hard time in the comments section, but then everybody gets a hard time in the comments section.
Comment section's quite a rough place, huh?
I know.
I was having this conversation with someone last night, and what do you liken it to in real life? Like Rosettenville on New Year's Day was
Wow, was
one of the things that came up. You know, there's some real characters.
Rosettenville on New Year's Day.
There's some real characters in this thing.
Jesus. Well, consistent, I can see as well, which they're already on it. So somebody says here, what's the story of the gimmick GCS new look? That's Snipes. We're trying to find the right balance of stuff here, people. And since all of you are such fucking experts, you know, I've hired you as my producers. What do you think? Anyway, the worst thing on ENCA is that clown of the three beanies, says Carl DeSantos. Who is that guy? And why does he wear three beanies?
Carl, where did that come from?
I know, just out of nowhere.
We just blacked out for 5 minutes and there was a conversation I wasn't part of.
did you roofie us and then suddenly bring that up out of nowhere?
Are we hypnotized already? he's talking about that Dan Corder guy.
Oh, is that his name?
That's the beanie guy, right?
I think so. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know how he would come up with a conversation.
I don't know.
I honestly
can tell you I've never watched the show. I don't watch much TV, so I'm not a good person to ask about these things. So we'll see. Today's my first day in the comments section, says Andile Mahlangu. Well, listen, dude.
Welcome, good, Andile. Don't talk to anybody.
Yeah, for God's sake, don't fucking scratch at any itches that you got in the comments section. Just pretend everything's all right. Focus on walking forward and have your knife at the ready. Yeah. That's all I can tell you.
Andile, it's a bit like prison. Just look ahead. Do what's required of you. And don't try make any friends, especially on the first day.
Oh, my God. All right. Please zoom in on Ben. We all know how the studio looks. Yeah, good point. I've said it before. I'll say it again. James is the Fikile Mbalula of the Gareth Cliff Show. Why doesn't Gareth get some of the comment section in the studio one day? Well, we have had a couple of people who are in the comment section as guests on the show, and they've actually been pretty good. So, yeah, that's not a bad suggestion. Don't worry. Not all your suggestions are terrible, but just remember, I don't care if you want something to happen or not. It's not up to you. It's up to me. all right. So lots to get into. We have so many things to talk about this morning because it's been a crazy year and a crazy week. And I know there are all these people doing these, like, give us the best and worst of 2024s. And the pressure's just too much.
It's huge. Far too much work.
There's so much that's happened in this year. I can't even remember what happened in January. It was so long ago. And people want me to summarize the year. I mean, you can ask ChatGPT to do that, and it'll do a way better job than me.
Oh, I can't remember pre-Olympics.
Yeah.
I'm trying to go through it now. Right. It's just that, you know, I think Olympics was just like a great blip in the middle of the year.
I loved that.
And then
it was great.
I don't actually...
You got to give you credit, actually. You got me to pay attention to the Olympics. It's the only time my TV has been on this year. And
great
I loved
talking
it.
Points. So many I loved great it. Talking points.
And you did do something that you love last weekend. You were at the Nedbank Golf Challenge.
Which was amazing. And I think next year I want to put a lot of effort into it, try to round up a lot more people, because I take for granted that I live here. I'm from Cape Town. I've traveled this country extensively because I love it. I really do. But I take for granted there's people all over that have just actually never been to Sun City or they've never played that golf course. Yeah. It's not because they, you know, they're destitute or they completely don't like traveling. It's just that it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Everyone's lives are busy. But next year, I want to just get as many people to go and appreciate how great this event is. You know, like the DP World Tour goes around the world, as hence the name. And they say year in, year out, it's the best hospitality experience in the world, on the planet. As in, when you go there as a guest or wherever you're going, they do it best. I guess the thing, because we're competing against the Saudi money, old European money. We're competing against so much, the Asians, and that golf tournament does what it does the best.
It's fantastic.
It's a great time.
And it's a great place to show off South Africa, but my God, it must have been hot. I mean, I was sweating like a pig this last weekend because I was working outside, and I have never been so hot. It's jumping in the pool every opportunity I got.
It's a bit melty. I don't want to get into like the sport aspect of it, but
no.
There's only 13 guys under par. The score never really got away. Normally, it was in the high teens, 5-1 this year, because guys got to the back nine and they were just
finished.
They were literally melting.
Yeah.
They were just hanging on. It was like watching an old school US Open, which was so fun. But this week's actually almost a better advertisement for the country, the Alfred Dunhill Leopard Creek.
This is very funny. Somebody here, Congo Chris, says, I'm surprised the producers are sober this morning. Wasn't it your year end last night? It was.
And a good one it was, Congo Chris.
Yeah, we had a big party. We went to this amazing dive bar called Smoking Kills.
It's a very authentic dive bar.
Real, huh?
Very authentic dive bar.
I mean,
bar.
The owner even, I mean, she...
The woman with the lobe.
Yeah.
The hanging lobe.
And blue hair.
Yeah.
And like, she owns the place. And she totally, it's authentic from top to bottom. Like everything about it. There couldn't be anyone else in the world who could own that place.
Like the graffiti, the angst, the sort of the distance of the barman, like mentally, because they would like zone out, they'll come back. They would wear like old, this one guy like an old MTV shirt. Other guy looks like he was brought up on Jack Daniels. There wasn't like a uniform hairstyle in sight. It was well cast. It was like perfectly put together.
Oh, that's great.
Like it was dingy, but you didn't think you were going to get Belhaz yet. It was like a fine line between the two.
Yeah, Hugh says, yes, tell us what happened at the Real Network Christmas party. Well,
I can give you a quick breakdown. Open bar, tattoo parlor, basically.
Yeah, people were getting tattoos.
And then one of those like money booths where you go in and the fan goes on and then money pops up.
And people were grabbing cash in the money box.
Yeah, I'll give you just those 3 points there.
and then there was a prize giving and a few announcements, and then there was party DJs, but yeah, everyone, it seems like everyone except me and you got a tattoo.
Yeah, well, I'm not going.
James,
to.
You get a tattoo? No, you didn't. Okay, so James is also in that category. Marv, you got one?
I did.
Marv got a tattoo. What did you get? You got his daughter's name. Marv. That's sweet.
Marv was lurking around there for about 3 hours.
That's sweet.
Like, what are you doing?
Lurking is such a terrible word.
He looked like a tattoo parlor perv. He was just walking around. Such an odd look. Because everything was red lights, right? So it looked very prostitute.
Oh, wow.
And then Marv was just in the corner. Like, he knows what his daughter's name is. What was he doing there? Was he looking at other things? Strands of butterfly you might want to add? But I got there around 6:30. I left about just after 9. And there wasn't an idle pen anywhere.
No, the guy's busy the whole time. Yeah,
so I'd like to know this morning when they get to the office how many regret tattoos were there.
Oh, they're going to be a few. Sango says year-end functions, were there strippers? Not at this one, but I don't know why it is that at all these year-end functions, and it happens, you know, big corporations, serious places like banks and, you know, insurance companies and places like that, people end up sleeping with colleagues, people end up drinking way too much and falling downstairs and stuff. It happens.
Well, you think about
and then you have to deal with that the next day at work.
But it's like a whole year of built up potential sexual tension / angst, and then you get an opportunity where you're hammered. It's the end of the year, there's no inhibitions, you might have feelings for somebody.
Yeah,
I've hooked up with one person
and that's where it comes out.
I mean, it happens. A very long time ago, but it's a thing. I don't think it happened last night.
Was that that 7 foot woman, that enormous, what was her name? I remember there was a very big woman at one point. Am I making that up?
At one point of what?
In your life, Ben.
No.
All right, so you need four people for grace digging. I don't know what that's all about, says Snipes. If there's no regret from a year-end party, then it wasn't a good New Year party, says Carl.
I think you gotta yeah. like your coworkers enough to get a little bit vulnerable and a bit loose with them, mm-hmm. but not so much that you actually do end up hooking up with them.
Right.
Because then it's just going to create a weirdish dynamic.
Well, speaking of hooking up, do you remember we spoke last week about that girl, Lily something or another, who's going to sleep with 100 men?
Yes.
For OnlyFans, and she was going to, you know, she's some... kind of hero, and she was going to do this, and she did, and it went predictably as well as something like that could. She had a bit of a breakdown when she was interviewed about it afterwards, because you can imagine it's going to go bad. It's going to be horrible.
But she was
right?
the one with all the terms and conditions. It's basically like 100 guys, one pump each, and we're good.
Yeah, they got 2 to 5 minutes each, apparently.
Oh, okay. That's changed then.
Anyway, she filmed it.
2 to 5. It's a lot of a difference.
Well, let me tell you. This is what she allowed.
1 minute. James said 1 minute.
Okay, no problem. Well,
either that or in 1 minute's time, something's happening on the show.
Bitcoin Butz said that we mustn't skip on her. Her next target is 1,000 men in 24 hours. But here's my problem, okay? So people have watched this clip, which I'll show you in a moment. And they are saying, oh, shame, she's the victim. Now, I don't understand this at all. Well, and it's like feminists are saying this. There are a bunch of women on social media who are going, oh, this is terrible. She is being exploited by those men.
Mm.
This doesn't make sense to me from any angle. I've tried to think about this in 100 different ways. Like, I've literally gone about it like all those men did on Lily. Okay. And I cannot find the angle. I cannot find the position. Where it occurs to me at any stage that she is the victim. So let's just remember how this began. This is a girl who has an OnlyFans account online. She wants to have subscribers. She decided this is a good gimmick to do this. She came up with the idea. And now somehow she's the victim.
So what the feminists are probably bleating about is that the society that we have today encourages women to act like this.
No, that would be a nuanced approach. The yeah. feminists are being much more obvious about it. As far as they're concerned, the men are abusing her. Because,
yeah, but again, it's a useless argument because she wasn't forced into this.
Well,
no one basically said, I'll give you $1 million and you're going to do this.
That's it.
Those men didn't come together like surround her house and say, oi.
Yeah,
all of us. Inside.
We're in. We're here from Pound Town to come and deliver the goods. No, it's hard to be sensible about this. All right, and I'm going to try to because it's also hilariously stupid.
Yeah,
it just is. It's a stupid thing. It could only happen in the internet generation. It can only happen to someone who has something like an OnlyFans. This was not possible at any stage before, unless there was a porn company that did it. In which case, you could accuse them of being abusers. Okay, so now,
yeah.
I think the big problem here. Is that Lily and all of these men have gone voluntarily about this, but the feminists actually don't believe that men and women are equal.
Well, the feminists don't actually want equality. Otherwise,
no.
they'd be called equalitists.
No, they want the men in charge. This is the point.
Ah.
They actually secretly, and I know there are a lot of feminists, none of them listen to this show, but there are going to be some who will catch this clip somewhere on the internet and get upset.
And take it out of context.
And that's fine. And then they'll have the tantrum and they'll, you know,
they'll rip out their blue hair.
Yeah, get all cross and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, the fact is that you actually do have different standards for men and women. Women are allowed to be free and do whatever they want and be equal and everything else, but no accountability or responsibility.
Yeah, always comes down
so
to that.
So you will infantilize women even when they've made the decision themselves. That's what most feminists do. They expect the men to lead and to know better. And for a man to say, actually, you know what? Because let's face it, those men are as demoralized and embarrassed and probably will have regrets about what they've done here in just the same way Lily
Absolutely.
Will.
Absolutely.
And there are 100 of them. I mean, I just don't want to imagine what guy number 99 or number 100 would even be there for. I have to tell you, there are got to be very few things on planet Earth that are more horrific than going at it, not because there's anything wrong with Lily, but because of what all those other guys have done there before you arrive. Imagine you draw number 100.
But imagine like the energy of that room, how weird it must feel.
Horrific.
How absolutely disgusting.
Horrific.
But Lily's chasing numbers, right? So yeah. It was 100, now it's 1,000.
Now she's going to go for 1,000. Here, watch the clip. Because here she does what, you know, she's being interviewed by some guy. He's like a YouTube star. And then predictably, she has a little cry.
Minutes to do the deed was not for the weak, she admits in a video published December 7th.
It's not for the weak, girls. If I'm honest, it was hard. I don't know if I'd recommend it.
Like more intense than you thought it might.
Definitely.
Sorry.
Okay.
Just take
a minute.
In fact, Lily had to excuse herself to cry in another room shortly after performing the feat, saying that it was definitely more intense than she thought. She can be seen getting emotional while explaining that she constantly.
Okay, so either she's a really good actress, and I can accept that she probably is playing it up a little bit for the cameras, because that's part of the attention seeking that a lot of these people who are internet stars want. They just constantly want attention. They can't get enough.
Yeah.
100 dicks and still not enough attention.
It's a drug. So she's chasing
100 fucking dicks and she's
chasing
still not
100.
Happy.
She's chasing 1,000. But yeah. The funny part of that equation is all because one man let her down, her dad.
Probably.
So there's the equation.
There we go.
Back to the root. Stop chasing.
1,000 dicks.
1,000 dicks. Just.
If you're a dad of a daughter, just please don't let her turn into this.
Just make peace with the original dick in your life. Your dad was obviously terrible, but don't now just do this.
Oh, Mo Rabbit says, I watched the documentary. Yeah, sure you watched the documentary. He says, a cameraman gagged when entering the room from the smell, condoms and stuff everywhere.
That's the thing, yeah. Mm. I saw a used condom on a road the other day and I was freaked out. Like to go into a room.
No, it was just lying there on the road?
Yeah, that's my cautious. They infiltrate
the
my area.
Oh, the on the street near your house. Yeah. It's, you
know, interview for everyone, I guess.
Sure.
Yeah.
Bitcoin Butt says, I'd love to hear Auntie Ruda's opinion on this.
We should actually just get Ruda back just for hot topics.
I know.
So, Ruda, kilometers of cock, what's your take?
What's your take on this? I think that would be great. All right. There are a couple of things that we've got to talk about with the holidays coming up. And this is something that I have a personal story in, because it must have been either just after varsity or just before I'd finished university. So there wasn't a lot of budget to go around, right? Student budget, going on holiday with a bunch of mates. And in fact, it was me and one of my friends and two girls who were going together. And we booked this place because this friend of mine had said his one work colleague had like a place at the coast and he would let us stay there and it would cost us only, I don't know, a couple of thousand rand, but it was cheap. And if we split it, it was even cheaper, right? So we get packed in the cars, we head down to the coast. This is in Durban, you know, KZN coast. And we're all excited, you know, for a holiday, as everybody, you get excited when you know that there's going to be a holiday around the corner. And maybe some people are already on holiday now. It's the best. And, you know, you're going to have beautiful weather and there's just all this cool stuff you can look forward to, parties and all the rest. Get there. Now, none of us had ever seen the place before. We get there.
This is like pre-internet Airbnb.
Yeah. There's no Airbnb. This is a long time ago. You just have to take someone's word for it. And he's like, no. My colleague says this place is amazing. Well, we got there and it was horrific. You know when you go into a place and the bathrooms are like brown from the 80s? Everything's brown and it's dirty. It's like it's a dirty, sif, revolting place. Just and everything was bad. There was mold growing on the walls. It smelt bad. There were like cockroaches running around.
Did you have your own stray dog though?
It was... Ben, there was everything short of a stray dog there. It was horrific. Now, you're stuck in this situation because what are you going to do? You're going to turn around and go all the way home?
So, in proximity to the actual beach?
Also, not great. So this guy was a bullshit artist of the first class. And we were all so disappointed. And we started phoning people we know, and maybe we can try and find some accommodation. And, you know, it was before you could just book an Airbnb or a hotel or whatever else. So we would have to go somewhere else. Fortunately, I mean, we found a place. It was miles away. It was probably better in every way. I mean, this is a long, long staircase up to the place, which if you're schlepping luggage all the way to the top is not fun. But we thought, well, at least we've got a place for the holidays. So all's well that ends well. But it reminded me of how many people have been scammed by these Airbnbs.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, they put up a picture, and then when you get there, it's nothing like the picture. You find out that it's not in the place that they said it was. You find out that it's one bedroom instead of two. And some of this is really, really upsetting to people, not just because they're going to have their holiday spoiled, but also because they've been lied to and basically defrauded out of money.
Yeah.
And then I saw this ad and I thought this was brilliant, because this is precisely what I think a lot of people are going through. So I think this is for City Lodge, and I just got to give them props for this ad, because it's brilliant. It illustrates very well what I'm trying to tell you.
And finally, this is the bedroom. Ta-da! Ladies, please enjoy your stay. And remember, if you need anything, and I mean anything, I'm literally next door.
Booked dodgy accommodation? Go to saveourstay.co.za to locate the closest City Lodge hotels at up to 30% off this summer. Ta-da!
I love that. So I've got saveourstay, S-O-S, .co.za, saveourstay.co.za, and I think it's absolutely brilliant. I mean, that is a situation no one wants to end up in. Do you see those women's faces?
That was gold.
That's so great. So I love it. And well done to City Lodge. That's awesome stuff. Absolutely. Yeah,
you've got to do that kind of stuff in advance as much as possible.
You got to do your research. Right.
And there's no such thing as a great deal, because supply, demand, everyone's trying to make cash.
Listen, you get what you pay for. If that's something looks cheap, it's going to be
cheap.
Right?
Yeah. And if you do know someone from work who has a place, also interrogate that person thoroughly.
Yeah, people are loving this ad. There's a place in Durban that's like this. Bentley on the Beach stuffed us in a moldy room and ended up being a place for men to go and meet women that they paid for.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow, Bitcoin. But you've really lucked out on that one. I mean, was Lily from OnlyFans there? Is that where they filmed her video? Holy hell. A few minutes late, but I'm catching up. Good morning, all, says Super Juju. Okay, well, you're allowed to come late. It's not, we're not going to hold you to your 6 o'clock wake up time. Listen, I know for a fact that there are loads of people scamming at the moment. So there's scams going on with deliveries, which is a big thing now. You know, you have to pay the duties or whatever. So look out for that one, because I was caught out just the other day and almost ended up losing some money. There are lots of other people who've been caught out on these Airbnb scams. They're going to be people who are trying to sell you all kinds of stuff because it's Christmas. Just be careful. I don't know if it was a mistake. It was actually kind of educational. I went to the shops on Tuesday. So I got this voucher from someone a while ago. You know, you've got to actually go and spend the thing in person. There's no way to do that on the internet.
Yeah.
For a whole bunch of shops in this big shopping center. It was terrific. There were so many options, and I used it all on buying presents for other people, which was great.
Wow, nice.
Found some cool stuff. Yeah. Yeah, it was quite a lot. It was nice. That was a good voucher. As vouchers go, that wasn't like 15 Rand. Okay. It was slightly better than that. So I went and bought a bunch of Christmas presents for people, but watching people in the mall was interesting, because I haven't done that for a long time. I'm so used to going when it's quiet and there aren't a lot of people, and it's not this time of year. And around Christmas, I've been pretty good about preparing in advance. So I'll buy all the presents that I need to get people long before. But it was interesting to see everybody. And it was busy. And people get, they get that wild look in their eyes when it comes to this time of year. It's like they're on the hunt.
It is.
Hey? The hunter comes out in everybody.
Very wicked way of saying it.
And the gatherer comes out in the ones who are not hunters. And they get that, that kind of predator look in their eyes. And they're like, I'm here to find the stuff. I've come to hunt and gather. And you mustn't get in my way. People literally push their trolleys right into you.
Yeah.
There's chaos. There's like lots of noise. There's Christmas music. There's bright lights everywhere. Sale, sale, sale. You could very easily get caught up in it and end up like a little bit screwed by the end. I walked out of there after about an hour and a half. I was tired. I needed to have a nap after that. Just because
sensory overload. On so
it's
many
crazy,
things.
Right?
Because you also have expectation of what you want to get. And then all this stuff just comes at you like a gangbang. And shopping is very deflating because sometimes you only find things. I mean, I hate shopping because I don't even find things I like. And I've got to try and force myself to think that someone else might like this stuff I don't like.
Yeah. Yeah. So
it's very, very difficult.
Here's someone with a story about a terrible place that they went to once. Tracy says, I had a similar thing in Tussie a few years ago. I ended up staying in the owner's room. Condoms and utility bills in the drawers. Hobart was busy New Year's Eve and the Sydney Hobart race was on. I had nowhere else to go. Oh, wow. So that's in Tassie, Tasmania.
Yeah. But at least there, they won't use condoms like the place you went to.
Yes. You know, it's amazing to me how many people think that their house or their holiday house is Airbnb worthy. Like they live like animals, but they think other people will pay to live like that. Like they don't change the sheets. You know, there's a funny thing about having a holiday home, and I used to have a holiday home and I don't anymore, but I didn't like other people staying there unless I knew if they were family or like if it was a friend, but it always bugged me that there are so many people who will just, they'll get out of their bed and make it maybe if they're a decent person, they'll make the bed, but they slept in it the night before. And they will rent it out to someone else the next day, a total stranger. Mm. It's very odd, hey? I don't know if I could do that.
Yeah, it is kind of odd. This whole thing about just Airbnbs, though, it's such a great idea, but time and place.
Yeah.
It's like a good reason why you have a hotel. It's a very sort of, you know, transactional yet efficient kind of way of doing things. But again, what it comes back to your point, is that people get creative with this kind of stuff. Like I know people who live in Cape Town. And because everything's so expensive and there's such a, like, there's not a lot of accommodation, some people just leave their houses for December and rent them out. And that basically pays for so much in their year. So that's cool and all.
Sure. If you live in Cape Town or,
you know, like a family house
somewhere, sure.
People are happy that they lock a few things away. Otherwise, it's like, great, go at it. They go stay with in-laws or they go somewhere else because it's cheaper and they make a net profit. But the idea being that everyone can be a host because of Airbnb. It's a scary thought.
No, it's like
it's not everyone can be an Uber driver, you know?
No, exactly. And not everybody can be an Instagram model.
Yes.
I mean, the internet has made a lot of people overconfident.
Yes,
a lot. That's the point.
Very much so.
They're just overconfident. They're overconfident about their looks. They're overconfident about their house. They're overconfident about their car. Not all these things are available to you.
So few barriers to entry. We should have more barriers to entry in life.
Yes, absolutely.
Starting with Lily's vagina.
The close your vagina.
There's no barrier to entry there. Look what's happening in her life.
Lily's got to stop. Please, Lily, don't do the 1,000. I mean, you don't have to listen to me. Who the hell am I? But for your own happiness, I don't think that the rest of us can handle seeing you cry after 1,000 guys have had their way with you. It's just horrible.
You don't bounce back from that. She's not going to bounce back from this. But I was just on the thing of OnlyFans. I was listening to a Joe Rogan podcast this week. And there was this really interesting point around, because, you know, the last couple of weeks you spoke, I think on Monday, about that chick who makes like 40 million a year.
Yeah.
And this whole lure of OnlyFans is great. But I always think with these people, okay, you get rich, but then what do? You're almost like you're away. You're not part of society. Okay. So you're rich. What kind of relationship can you ever have with a guy? Because firstly, you're not going to go for anyone who's now poorer than you. Because that is a whole different dynamic.
Yeah.
A lot of women don't want that. But then guys, guys on her price point, this OnlyFans person, they don't want to be with an OnlyFans person. I don't think that's quite, if you're a multi-millionaire and you really do well in your life, these kind of things, you don't maybe want an OnlyFans woman to maybe be the mother of your child.
Or, I don't think so, huh?
So
I really don't think so.
As much as it's great that these women are making money by not having to like do normal trashy work, they can just sit in their house and get their tits out. That, but where does it put them? Even when they've got so many millions of dollars, what part of society do they actually then connect with?
I don't know. And I think that these are going to be issues that we only figure out as we go forward from what's happening now, because this has never happened before.
Exactly.
This kind
I just
of thing
think
has
a
never
lot
been,
of it ends in suicide, unfortunately.
It's not going to end well. I mean, you can already see, and this is why I can't understand why she now wants to go for the thousand. You know, it's poor life choice after poor life choice after poor life choice. And you kind of just wish that she'd got more hugs when she was a little girl.
Exactly. But she now thinks that this is her lane, right?
She wouldn't have. Yeah, this is. Well, this is. Think about the attention she's getting.
Which she wouldn't ordinarily get. But then, yeah.
And a lot of people are driven by that need for attention. I mentioned before that to me, it's probably the most unattractive quality in anyone is this constant cloying need for attention. And you know, we saw what she looked like when we spoke about her last week, and I even said this is not an unattractive woman. This is not a girl who couldn't have gone and done something, you know, that wouldn't have been embarrassing for her in 10 years time, or even the day after, as we saw from that clip earlier. She's made her choices. Now I suppose, as the saying goes, you make your bed, you lie in it. Except she's going to have 100 guys come and lie in it for a little while with her.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't understand it. It's something we will have to work out, and it's you know, the next 20 years problem. Okay, really.
I know I keep banging on this drum, but the follow-up show is actually just interviewing the parents of these fucking people.
Sure.
And you sit Lily's dad down. He's probably not even alive. Who knows?
Mm.
But you sit him down, you ask him some questions, and yeah. I think it'll be such engaging viewing because you know exactly what you're going to get. There's no chance that Oak tried hard or decent Oak.
Terrible
good
person.
Good job. Had a
guaranteed.
Built a good house.
Terrible person.
Terrible person.
So here's some funny things about houses. Tracy says, my aunt rents out her house in a popular seaside town for 30,000 rand a day.
Nice.
Minimum stay is 2 weeks. Pays for her travels throughout the year. Now that is clever.
Yeah.
That is clever.
I've also heard stories like that. It's great.
But I have the kind of house that it couldn't be anyone else's house. I mean, I've got framed pictures of family and friends all over the place. I've got things that I've collected over years. I've got books
your house
that
is
I
a
read.
Monument. A monument to you.
I love
just
being in my house, and it's very individual, but I could never have anyone stay there without me being there. It's an impossibility. I could never rent out even a room in my house. It would be bizarre. Mm-hmm. And I struggled to do this with a holiday house where there wasn't that kind of thing. So I don't understand. Ben, isn't it sad that Lily got to 100 before Tim Bavuma, says Carl? That's terrible. And Carla wants to know, is that a couch for giants or is this a compact version of Ben that you use for efficiency? It's actually smaller than the other one that we had.
Yeah, I think if Ryan or Leanne was sitting next to me, it's actually quite big. Hey, now you put it like that.
There's a lot of space there. But that's also because we're showing like the empty space where soon Andre the Hilarious Hypnotist will be sitting. And then a cruel comment here, but not unexpected as the comment section goes, from Hugh, who says, no, we want her to do the thousand. Teach her a lesson. It's going to be hilarious to see her break. I mean, that's also the internet, right? You're going to watch other people fail,
but
hate themselves.
To that comment, she's already broken. She's doing some like, sorry, but you're already a broken person if you are doing this kind of things.
Apparently, her mom.
Well, you talk about physically breaking. Cause that's also weird.
And here's something weird: her mom is her financial manager.
See, going back to fucked up parents.
Well, who started all of that? Kris Kardashian, right? She's the one who said, I see a way. And if all you want is money, cool. I see a way to make this whole family famous. We just need to get Ray J and Kim to bang each other on camera. And this was in the days before OnlyFans, so they were trailblazing. It had kind of been done by Paris Hilton. It had kind of been done by Pamela Anderson. That's the chronology.
Yeah, but those are white cocks. Very, very low ceiling with white cock. Kardashians, you know, when you look at like, when you interview billionaires, you know, you get those like viral things like, where do you get your money from? The Kardashians literally just say like, look, we went all in on black cock. They did. They're looking at the markets, you know, telecoms, you know, natural resources.
And we persuaded our dad to go trans.
They went all in on black cock and
And that's how it worked. Oof. Yo, Lily must hire Mum Kardashian. Well, she's kind of got her own mom who sounds like she's the same. The show today looks like Ben is having a sleepover at Garrett's house. Garrett's playing games on his computer at his desk and Ben is waiting his turn. all right, let's get into some sport, though, because you've got some of that for us.
Yeah, it's a pretty decent weekend.
Cool, let's have a look.
Look, it's actually a fantastic festive season ahead. So, you know, on the Bounce Show this week, we went into, like, the football, because when we're stuffing our face and doing nothing for the next few weeks, that doesn't stop.
No.
We've got all of that. We've got Test crickets. We've got Pakistan here playing cricket against the Proteas. India in Australia. The golf's going to wind down. The rugby keeps going. So it's actually a wonderful, wonderful time of year.
I know this is forecasting a little bit, but there's always that big Boxing Day test.
Yeah.
Is that still a thing?
Always a big thing. Okay. So you can wake up at 1:30 in the morning to catch the Australia one, and you can literally just go all the way through, stuffing your face, lying horizontally till about 5:30 in the afternoon.
For a cricket fan, that's heaven.
That's a great day. Especially if you've had a cut Christmas and you're like, oh, these fucking people. And you basically just like power drank your way through family engagements. Boxing Day is like the light in the tunnel there. That's me.
Power. Just hit the hard liquor.
Yeah. So let's start with some football. There's obviously the Premier League dynamics right now are so cool. Man City going into the season favorites. They faltered heavily. No one knows if Pep actually cares anymore. He lost all those games. Liverpool are great, but they're going to plateau. Even James knows that. Arsenal, they bottled it early, but maybe that was a false dawn that they were like, no, we still got this. We're just going to do it from further back. And then, you know, Man United are obviously going to always be losers. Chelsea are surprisingly fantastic.
You just say that as a matter of fact.
Everyone knows now. You know. Okay. But everyone was ridiculing Chelsea at the beginning of the season about having 73 oaks in their books. They've got like seven guys in every position. But now, when you look at how much football gets played and the endless amounts of like the demands, they are currently second in the log and they're looking really good. Fun team to watch. There's a lot of young energy. Expectations obviously quite low. I mean, they finished sixth last year. They're playing in this UEFA conference something because they were so cucked last year. They haven't even got like a shirt sponsor. And they're just having a jewel.
That's horrific.
Having a jewel. So Saturday...
That's horrific. They don't even have a shirt sponsor. What? I mean, isn't that like base entry level professional
Talkwise sport? Was going to come online in November. It's never really... someone forgot to sew it on or someone's not signed the contract.
Maybe Lily can back them.
It's like all the names of Lily's Oaks in the front of their shirt. That would be quite a thing. Or basically she just does the whole Chelsea team next year.
Oh, here we go. What do you think of the two Manchester clubs at the bottom of their game? Who will win the derby this weekend, says JP?
And that's what we get into, JP, because we'll start with Arsenal. They're playing Everton at three. Liverpool versus Fulham. So you would imagine those two teams, pretty routine. They should run through those guys at home. But yeah, the big game is Sunday, Man City versus Man United. I think Man City will win this one. I think just on muscle memory alone, they're just so much better. And, you know, as my co-host said this week, Pep does pick himself up for these certain games. But I think if this game was played maybe 2 months' time, it's just so hard to forecast these things because you think that Man City can't just be so cucked because they lost one player. Yeah. And then you think with Man United that this new coach might get something to happen in about a month or two. But either way, I don't think Man City are going to get too troubled by this. Because that's the thing with Man United. They've got all this false hope. It's just about like having it like a almost like an absent dad. When he does rock up every now and again, everyone's so excited. So when Man United wins every now and again, like they've done against teams like Leicester, everyone gets so excited. But no, I mean, you're so far away from being good again.
Is the era of superstar coaches over? Because as someone who doesn't watch all that often, I don't hear that much. I mean, you mentioned Pep Guardiola now, but I don't hear that much about coaches. It always used to be that they were part of the celebrity package that came with a big
guys. That's a surprisingly good question. I think it's so hard for these guys to maintain intensity over a certain amount of time. So the superstars in recent times, Jurgen Klopp was a great example of that. because he was, I mean, he hugged the players. He was casual, smart casual, had a nice beard. James's hero.
Carl says, Lily must sponsor United. They're constantly getting fucked anyway.
But the whole thing about being a superstar coach is that you've got to be heart and soul. It really is a thing. It's not like, even initially with Alex Ferguson, he was kind of heart and soul, but he was like four whiskeys in kind of heart and soul.
Yeah, sure. Old school.
Old school, got a lot of respect. Nowadays, I think a lot of these footballers, they're not that smart. They're very focused on what they need to do. So you need to physically drum it into them to do this, do this, do this. And there's a lot more games being played nowadays, a lot more high stakes across the entire season.
Right.
Like if you look at Man City, they're going to be playing in this Club World Cup tournament. There's Champions League. There's all the stuff domestically. To be a great manager, to be intense over the whole time, to get a tune out of these oaks, yeah, I don't think there's the longevity like there used to be.
Snipes says, and this is an interesting point worthy of discussion, football during the festive season is not good for big families with one big screen. And then Judas says later on, you are so right. A loaf of bread lasts 24 hours, cereal and noodles 2 days, snacks are going crazy, December holidays are something else. So if you got one big screen and you have to provide all the snacks and you got the family there for Christmas, it can get very, very expensive. Yeah,
keep your circle tighter.
Seriously, saying cut down on the numbers.
Even if you got it, even if it's family, you must have different squads. You must have home and away.
Yeah.
And absolutely. Then, like, the other game to watch out for the Premier League this weekend is Chelsea versus Brentford. Brentford have been a bit dark horse-ish, but I think ultimately these teams have started well or have like clung on, like Nottingham Forest and Brentford. They're all going to fall away. And teams like Chelsea are just going to show their class. There's also the CAF Champions League, which Sundowns and Pirates are in. Sundowns were kind of just had enough of their coach. They fired him already. Huge dynamic now because they brought this new Porter in. So now there's going to be...
Yeah, because we could say Porter on this
show. There's
going
to be a language dynamic.
That.
Well, yeah. Especially now the ones coaching Sundowns. This is the dream. So there's a whole new dynamic coming in now. You know, the whole Pizzo era has kind of now been completed and away with because all the technical staff are now done. It's a whole fresh slate, clean slate. But Sundowns need to be the Champions League team. Like they need to be the strong team on the continent.
Right.
If they're going to get out of the group, I'm not entirely sure. They're playing Raya CA at 3 o'clock on Sunday.
Who the hell are they, Ben?
They're going to be up north of the equator, Gareth.
Okay.
I'll give you that much.
You don't know where. Somewhere. Somewhere. Could be Gabon.
Sundowns
could be Guinea-Bissau.
They've not had a good start. They had a draw last week. Sure, they're top of the Premier League locally with Pirates, but they haven't played many games. So Pirates, this is a great time for them to really kick on. I say at the start of the season, they'll win the season this year, the Premier League. And Sundowns, you know, you feel a lot of blood in the water with these teams that go through this. It's like right now, Man City, everybody wants to try to beat them because they were so good for so long. They've faltered. They've shown that they're kind of average. And everybody wants to play these guys. Sundowns are going to have that stink on them as well. But like Lily walking into a room. So Saturday, Stud Abidjan are hosting Pirates at 6. Big weekend of rugby. Now, the Investec Champions Cup. Okay. So most conversations to most of my disappointment nowadays, it all goes back to like workload and how you manage your squads and having so many different games. The Investec Champions Cup is a wonderful idea in that the top SA teams, so Stormers, Bulls, and the Sharks, they get to play against the best from France, England, and then the rest of the URC teams. And it's a really cool thing to do because it's basically the Champions League of rugby. But then you look at these teams like Toulouse and Toulon. Fuck, they're good. They've got such good squads. So my favorite rugby podcast, the Keo and Zell show, they were talking about team budgets this week. So your average sort of your top flight SA team has a player budget of around 90 million rand for the year. 90 million. Toulouse, 50 million euros.
Wow.
So, you know, euros.
Jesus.
That much. So basically, we are fighting against Oaks who've got 10 times the player budget. So our guys go into all these different tournaments and we just have South African players, which is great because we're the best rugby nation in the world. But we need lots of other people to go play these things. Imagine if Liverpool was just English players or Arsenal was just English players. There would be absolutely nowhere.
Yeah.
So we're going into Europe with just South African Oaks, whereas Toulouse and these teams, they'll be like, we've got Welsh Oaks. We've got the best Argentinians. We've got French. We've got English. We can buy whoever we want.
Yeah.
So it's impossible to play against these guys or win. So I don't think we'll ever win this tournament, but it's kind of sobering because then you can't get massive investors to come in because winning this tournament doesn't give you billions. You don't actually win any extra money. So we're kind of stuck in this weird place in rugby. It's a conversation for a different day, but Bulls versus Northampton at Loftus at 3. What a time for Loftus, huh? It's like the end of the year, but for some reason they don't like the
Champions Cup. You're going to the game?
I'm probably going to go through with some friends. I got Afrikaans friends that like rugby.
Okay, good.
I have range. Right, Leicester will be hosting the Sharks. That'll be at 7:30. And the Harlequins are hosting the Stormers at 10 o'clock on Saturday night. But I say it's a good time for Loftus because today you can go to Centurion and watch SA versus Pakistan for T20.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about long stints. You can go there, get absolutely hammered in the sun.
Book into the City Lodge.
Go to a City Lodge.
And then go straight to the rugby the next day.
And roll out into rugby because it's a 3 o'clock kickoff.
That's very good.
Earlier one. So you can be
excellent.
You can in Pretoria this weekend, you can basically just go from brandy to brandy, Bryce smoke to Bryce smoke. Look, Sunday will be a mess for you.
Yeah, but you've got Monday to recover.
Absolutely.
You know, so this
you got a day to
actually,
reconcile.
This is a perfect weekend for Pretoria in every which way.
You got a day to reconcile your life on Monday.
Right.
So that'll be today at Centurion, 6 o'clock, SA versus Pakistan. Pakistan are our big summer opponents this week, this summer.
Decide. Just decide.
Too many words. Massive opponents, right? So we're playing the T20s with them currently. We're 1-0 up in the series. So the game will be today. And then tomorrow at Wanderers will be the third and final T20. Then we play the ODIs. We play the test matches. So they're very much here for the weekend. Weekends.
Okay. And then we got someone commenting here that we need to hear about some EFC. Congo Chris says in the sport, it's once a month on a Thursday. It's perfect for a Friday show. The last two fights last night were great. Did you see any of them? Because you were at our party. You didn't.
I didn't watch it. I know JT Boitsa got a good knockout. Very happy for him. But no, sorry, Chris. I have nothing else for you.
Right. Well, you can tell us, Chris. Tell us in the comments. We'll report directly from you.
The last thing of the sports this weekend is the Alfred Dunhill Championship at Leopard Creek. It's one of the coolest things you can watch on TV because they've got big cameras that go into the park. Because it's Crocodile River.
It must
River.
Be hot as hell there as well.
Yeah, the guys right? playing shorts and they sweat.
Like 42 degrees somewhere around there.
It's hectic. But you're right by the Crocodile River. It's just incredible. And they've got probably one of the greatest golf tournament Instagram accounts
just
in the world.
Explain to me how Leopard Creek works. Okay, so we know Johan Rupert started it.
Yes.
It's on, as you say, the Crocodile River. You've got animals, wild animals all over the place. We've all seen those videos of like crocs on the greens and hyenas coming up to the players while they're about to putt and that kind of thing. But these magnificent houses all around. Who's allowed on that golf course and who isn't? Just owners?
Yeah, you can't just rock up with a Pam Golding sign and go, I want that one.
Okay. How does it work? I like these little exclusive things we've got in South Africa that nobody knows about.
It's great.
I want to know. Tell
it's
me
great.
How it
Look,
works.
I don't know how it worked in the beginning. I wouldn't be able to tell you exactly what went down. But, you know, there's certain networks and certain abilities to buy certain things.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't completely exclusive as in, like, you got blackballed because your car was shit or something like that. But there was a certain kind of person that would buy a house there.
Okay.
And obviously it was at a certain price point. But you always hear these, like, urban legends around Johan Rupert because he basically... He owns everything. He makes, you know, like his Instagram account is called Cutmaker because he makes the cuts, you know, he's in charge. And for better or for worse, people say what they want about him, but the circus created and provided so much for golf, for golfers, for sport, for development. The circus given back so much. I think he almost has the right to be as much of a prick as he wants to be, if he is. I don't know. I've never met him, so I don't know if he is or he isn't, but you hear all these stories. You also hear stories of how if he doesn't like you, he can buy your house and tell you to piss off. So if you're getting a little bit too uppity at like an AGM, it's like, we don't really want your sort here. So with respect, how much is your house worth? No, please piss off. So you hear these, again, I can't confirm these. This is what you just hear. But that's the kind of place. It's meant to be special. It's not a place to go and fuck around, but it is perfect. Like I said about the NGC and the hospitality, when the pros come to Leopard Creek,
they lay on everything.
It's just it's mind blowing how amazing that place is. The practice facilities, the golf course itself, how well it's manicured. One of the greatest clubhouses you'll ever see. Everything about that place is essentially pretty perfect. It's
sounds
a feat
amazing.
It's a feat of engineering.
Conga Chris also says 18 holes being chased by a pack of hyenas. Finally, they've made golf exciting.
But if you follow Dunhill Links Championship, I think on Instagram. It's the great, like the coverage alone is just so cool.
It looks beautiful.
It's so
perfect. That's why I'm asking, because I don't know. I've never been there. Tracy says Kakuza was 44 degrees yesterday.
Wow.
Even the hyenas were in the pool having a swim.
It's just been, this has been like the hottest summer in quite some time.
It's been insane, and everybody's talking about it. You know, we don't like to talk about the weather on this show because we've got people watching and listening from all over the world, but South Africa's having a really good, picture-perfect, hot summer. It's lovely.
And to be in these places, again, if you're in Leopard Creek nice. And you've got like an infinity pool that looks over the river.
Oh, you could be in the pool with a drink while you're watching the golfers sweat.
It must be incredibly special. Again, yeah. It's one of those things that...
Have a hard time.
I don't know. Maybe I need to marry into certain families. That's where the future... I don't want to do that. But it's a really cool thing that people get to do. Like, I don't understand jealousy in life. I think it's a stupid emotion. But you see, like, a place like Leopard Creek exists. That makes me happy.
Mm.
Do I own a place there? No. Can I go to tomorrow? I think
the whole point of life... and this is where the commies always get it wrong, is that the point of life is to be exclusive, not inclusive. You know, we hear a lot about inclusivity and all the rest of it, but most people, even the most ardent egalitarian, someone who's, you know, believes fervently that everyone should be equal, we should all have the same things. If you give them something no one else has and they feel special, they're not going to share that.
No.
I mean, they'll pretend that they're the kind of people who want everything to be equal.
Well, do you think Bernie Sanders?
He's got holiday homes.
Do you think he does Lyft clubs with his sports cars?
He has holiday homes. He doesn't hire other people's Airbnbs.
No.
And this is the point, right? Is that you want? And I asked you about Leopard Creek because these are the kinds of things that people aspire to. We all want to have many options in life.
Yeah.
And you want to have options that other people might not be able to have. You know, it's like, for example, if you've ever flown on a private jet, you kind of think ordinary plane travel, even first class plane travel with all the other people, is a bit like parvenu.
Yeah.
You know, if you've been to places like Leopard Creek and played golf there, then you kind of feel sorry for the guys who are playing at the Germiston Country Club.
Mm.
I mean, God bless them. I don't know if Germiston's any good or not. You might know the course better than me. I certainly don't.
No, I mean, I wouldn't say it's a destination,
but
venue.
You do. You look down on them. You feel special, and people want to feel special. The point of life is to feel as different to everyone else as possible, not the same. And this is where it's all going to go wrong. I do want to comment on one other thing someone said in the comment section right at the start of the show, which I thought was fascinating. I'm not sure if this is true. Elon is now worth $7 trillion. Is that possible?
Is that forecasting in what he's apparently going to steal from Donald?
I don't know, but this is what people are saying. He's
people
gone
are saying
up to
he's
his
going
value.
To be the, he's going to like the Guptas of America. There is so much stupidity around this right now.
There is. That's why I'm asking. I don't know how you go from a couple of hundred billion, which is what he had the last time I checked in on this, to $7 trillion. That seems like an enormous
leap. That's just some commie maths.
You think so?
That's basically saying, oh, because now Donald's in charge, Donald's going to give him all of this.
Okay.
It's probably just commie maths. And that's the thing, like, you can never ever, and I know this is obvious, you never trust communists because they're dishonest. Everything you just said there, they want all those things because they don't have them. They use people as pawns to try and say we should all have it, but they want the same shit.
And
the difference is we're honest.
Just stop lying. You would. If you had millions and millions, you'd also do these exclusive things. Here we go. Elon Musk's wealth versus South Africa's GDP. This translates to 7.3 trillion rand. It means that Elon Musk's net wealth exceeds South Africa's GDP by hundreds of billions of rands. It is noteworthy that Elon Musk was born and raised in South Africa. That's interesting.
Yeah, I remember a couple of years ago, someone said that he could buy South Africa. I mean, that's true. But
he probably could. So he wouldn't just buy Leopard Creek or a house there. He could buy the whole fucking place, everything. He could buy us, James. He could buy us and put us into slavery, Ben.
But can you imagine what the year-end party would be like?
Oh, it'd be quite something.
A little money in that machine.
There'd be a lot of money in that money machine. You like that money. Did you try the money machine?
No, I'm not a full-time employee of the agency. I'm not going to go in there and go, okay, my turn. I'm going to have a prick what I look like.
But you wanted to.
Oh, that was fun.
Have you ever tried a money machine where the wind blows the money up and you have to grab it?
I would absolutely want more money at any stage in life, but there was one wasn't my place.
But would you do something like that?
Of course I would.
Okay, good. All right, good. You're not too good.
I'm not above that.
You're not too good to do that. All right.
See, again, excellent. I'm honest.
All right. Very good. You're not a commie.
It's good to be honest in life. I like those fucking decent commies.
All right. Here's some things that I want you to see before we take a break at 7. Just quickly, I want you to see this thing from... this is how people... We're talking about how hot it is. This is how people are going to... I certainly see myself doing this as soon as we finish on Friday next week. I'm going to go home. I'm basically going to put on swimming shorts and I'm going to be in the pool pretty much the whole time, whether it's me or me with people around or me with family or whatever.
Amazing.
So here, the hippo, this is what I'm going to look like in my pool. And this is, I'm not even embarrassed about it. Take a look. That's perfect.
Yeah, I'm so looking forward to my holiday as well. Oh. So I fly down to Cape Town 21st,
mm-hmm.
and I'll be at my parents' place probably only in a pair of shorts for 9 whole days.
And it's hot there too.
Yeah, it's great. Pool, lovely. Drinks, books.
Lovely.
And then I come back on the 30th, I'm going to play some golf.
Yeah, I know that.
It's all I want to do in the whole world.
There, even if you have one of those little inflatable pools, get it ready. It's going to be busy this holiday. Way busier than Lily. Let's just say that. And one quick thing, if you are going to do any adventure things, I was talking to someone yesterday at our party about like skydiving and bungee jumping. Just make sure that you tick the boxes in terms of like health and safety, because here's a woman on a swing, and you've got to make sure that the swing can support you and that you can actually hold on to the swing, if you know what I mean. Take a look and you'll see.
All right, are you ready?
Yeah, it's a recording.
What did the grass ever do to deserve that?
Shame. That's really horrible. Just be careful. I'm not likely to do any of the skydiving or bungee jumping stuff now. I think I'm past that.
Mm. It's a bit like getting a tattoo. It's a lovely idea, but do you really
Need it? Listen, I saw some decent tattoos being done last night.
Yeah, some people do actually see
tattoos. I don't think it's like the world's biggest decision anymore for people. There were people who walked in, they're like, yeah, I'll get one straight away. I think if you've never had a tattoo, then you probably think about it very carefully. But once you've got more than one or two, you're like, sure, let's add to the pile. And each of them means something to people.
Well, I know that next year, Marv's going to get James tattooed in his other arm.
All right. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back in a moment. And don't forget, Andre, the hilarious hypnotist, is going to be joining us. Going to talk about millennials and Gen Z and how happy they are in their jobs, especially at this time of year. And we've got lots of other things, including Panyaza Lesufi has ideas around education that are going to frighten the hell out of you. But then maybe that's not news. Maybe you could have guessed that just by looking at him.
More commie lies, huh?
More commie lies and so much more.
That's
on the way.
What I do is I just lie.
Just lies.
I just lie.